Welcome to Movie Maniacs. Mike Rags and Chuck Curry discussing the greatest movies of all time and all the new films in theaters and streaming that you need to know about. Like us, rate us, share us. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Rags and Chuck Curry.
Let's get rolling here. It is Movie Maniacs, a really weird edition as Chuck and I are trying to do this via Zoom meeting today. Now, if you're listening on the radio, WoWo 1190 and 107.5 FM, we will have a couple of best of shows to run. Eddie Murphy's birthday this weekend. Back in November, we did a show with his best and worst movies. We'll rerun that. And since we're supposed to have a James Bond movie, we're going to run our favorite James Bond films as well. That's later on. That's radio only. But we wanted to do a podcast, and Chuck Curry is joining me via Zoom as well, just to kind of get you up to date on our lives, what we've been kind of binge watching, because that's basically all we can do at home. And basically, if there's any movie news out there at all. Chuck, how you holding up back in Pennsylvania over there?
I'm hanging in there, Mike. Unusual, surreal times indeed. And obviously, viewership at home is gone up. Streaming, network TV, people are, for the most part, stuck in the house. And I guess we're going to see where this goes in terms of what people get used to, what their habits become. I think that's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out in the next month or two and see what sticks. You know, I just want to point out real quickly, there was a survey that was just done, and they asked people, will you go back to movie theaters? Right. And overwhelmingly, people said, yes, I am definitely going back to a movie theater. With one caveat, there'll be a little bit of a wait and see to see where all this plays out. So I think I have little doubt people will go back to movie theaters. How quickly? Will it be instantaneously? Will it be a few weeks? Will it be a month? Will it be 2 months? You know, just real quick, during 9/11, I was in the travel business. I had a call center. I was in timeshare. And we sold vacation packages to people all over the country, primarily Orlando. And a lot of people instantaneously said, you know, I have no problem going to Florida. But the majority did say I'd never go on an airplane again. Mm. And within a few months, people started to go back to airplanes. And then within, you know, a few months after, pretty much everybody, the fear dissipated to get on an airplane after 9/11. And I expect the same here. I do believe things will go back to normal. I can't tell you the exact date, but I do believe and I hope, because, you know, movie theaters, Mike, a part of Americana, a part of our culture. People go, families and people go on dates, first dates, and marry people, and families and kids go to the movie theaters Friday and Saturday nights. It's part of who we are, and we need that to continue.
Well, and it looks like if you look at the release dates on movies that were supposed to come out or will come out, it looks like May 29th, Memorial Day weekend, they're shooting for as far as release dates for real movies in real theaters. And we all know this is a very fluid situation. So whether we hit that target date or not, depends on what happens over the next couple of weeks. Movies like Candyman and A Quiet Place 2 all getting moved till post Memorial Day weekend. Interesting though, Trolls World Tour decided, you know what, we're just going to go VOD, a video on demand, and release it that way anyway. Probably a smart move for a movie like that. And a lot of these films that were released right before the pandemic really hit bad, you can get for streaming for like $19.99. And I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Right.
So movies like Onward and the movies that just came out, you're going to get to see. So interesting that Trolls decided, you know what, let's just release it this way. And I think that was probably a smart move, although I don't know how you make money.
But it is a smart move. I mean, that's got to be – I'm going to make the assumption that Trolls 2 – what is it called, the subtitle?
World Tour.
World Tour. I have to believe that's a $100 million movie.
Right.
So they're going to charge $20 for that film. I just don't see how that's going to equate to the grosses of a theatrical release. Yeah. Let's just say a normal movie, a normal blockbuster, they're going to shoot for, not in this case. I mean, if this movie did $300 or $400 million worldwide, theatrically, they're going to take that. Can that equate, if you got a theatrical distribution, if let's say a 50-50 cut, meaning the theater owners ultimately would get 50%, the studio back 50% minus their marketing cost. So I just don't see how enough people are going to pay $20 at home for Trolls 2 to equate to a theatrical release. That's why I don't think theater owners are that gung-ho in terms of wanting theaters to go away. I just don't see it. Do you?
Right. No, I don't. I don't at all. And I don't know what the equation is as far as what is Apple, what is their cut? What is, you know, these streaming services cut when you download a movie and what goes to the studios? I don't know that. I don't know if that's ever been really revealed at all.
Well, you know what? They just did a survey. Here's another survey they just did. They asked people about the aspect of what they're willing to pay for video on demand. $19.99, which is the current charge for movies that just came out of the theater onto the service, and most people said they're more comfortable paying between $6 and $9 to watch a movie at home. Obviously, the studios look at a full family watching a movie, say sure, husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend. So at least two people, $19.99 divided by two. That's what they look at. But I think people who are at home, usually one person foots the bill. It's one bill, $19.99. So people are a little bit hesitant. That price point psychology, I think, is there. Ultimately, if they go lower than $19.99, if they make it like $14.99, I think that's a more psychological, safer price point. I think that works better. I do think there's going to be a lot of resistance to $19.99, unless you're putting movies like Wonder Woman 1984, right, James Bond. That I don't think there'll be resistance. But for Trolls World Tour, for the Vin Diesel movie Bloodshot, there's going to be resistance to $19.99. I think at $10, you're going to have viewership. No resistance, $19.99. I think you can get plenty of resistance.
And one other film that's going to come out in April too is another kids type movie, is that David Bautista, My Spy. They're right, going to do on video on demand as well. Okay. So it's certainly interesting times, no doubt about it. Streaming services love it. Hulu, Amazon, sure, Netflix, I've got to imagine are making a ton of money right now. And especially Netflix in and of itself, the amount of buzz for just stuff like Tiger King that comes out, and just it is really the only thing that people are talking about as far as new stuff out. I got a chance to watch.
Yeah, what do you think? I heard a lot of buzz on that one.
Yeah, it's very fascinating stuff. A lot of characters.
What's it about? Tell me.
It's about the people who breed and keep wild animals at their homes, like tigers and bears.
Really?
And the people that try to stop them. But it's really more than that. These are eclectic people, Chuck, just wacky people. Especially guys like Joe Exotic, you'll hear that name a lot. And he's in jail actually because he hired someone to kill the person that was trying to stop him from breeding cats. It's beyond bizarre. Only Florida can produce something like this, and it does take place, a lot of it, in Florida. But a lot of interesting cast of characters and very addictive. You get through seven episodes real quick. I would highly recommend it. And at this point in time, you know, Ozark just started up too. I'm in that now.
I don't watch it, but I heard that final episode is a mind blower.
That's what I hear. I hear season three is a little bit off the rails a little bit. I'm looking forward to it. And other than that, Chuck, I did get a chance to see Crawl two nights ago with my daughter. The alligator in a hurricane movie kind of blends disaster and Jaws together. It's pretty good. I mean, it's low budget. It's 90 minutes. Good cast. Good to see Pepper back on screen again as the dad, Billy Pepper. But I mean, no real shocker here what happens in it. But there are some good scares and some good blood scenes. I'd recommend. I mean, but again, you know, I watched it for free at home. I don't know if it was worth going to the theaters to see. But a good movie, not great.
What do you think of this strategy? CBS streaming is going to do two months free to try to lure viewers to that service, which tells you two things. It tells you they want long-term viability, but it also tells you that people are not exactly clamoring to buy CBS streaming, because if they would, they wouldn't go to that strategy. Am I wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm surprised that they haven't lowered some price points for some of this stuff here so they would get more.
What do you have? What do you currently have? What do you pay for?
I pay for Netflix.
Me too.
I pay for Disney Plus.
Me too.
And Amazon Prime.
I have done that, and I did
Apple too. I have Apple.
I did YouTube Red for the Cobra Kai series when that aired. I felt compelled to do that. This new service, Quibi, thoughts on that one?
Nah, I mean, 10-minute episodes. I don't know. I guess that's the world we live in now.
That is the format, 10-minute episodes?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask a question. They're doing a Fugitive reboot in some variation. Keith Sutherland's, I guess, going to do the Tommy Lee Jones type part on that show, and the actor from the latest Predator movie is going to play the sort of a variation of Richard Kimball. 10-minute increment, how's that work?
I don't know. I guess there'll be, five episodes will be one regular episode. I'm not sure.
I don't get that one.
Chuck, the only real other movie news that I saw over the last couple of days was just basically a moving of a date. I got a tweet from Tom Cruise letting me know that Maverick's going to be a Christmas movie now. So he tweeted out that they moved that release date for the long-awaited Top Gun sequel to December, which is, I mean, I guess a good thing.
At least it's within the realms of this calendar year. I guess that is a good thing. I just want to veer into something fun to break the sort of a dour mood real quick. This week in film history, April 2nd, 1974, at the Oscars, The Sting wound up winning the Oscar for Best Picture. The Sting went up against American Graffiti, a movie called Cries and Whispers, which I don't remember very well, The Exorcist, an iconic horror film, which you talk about a lot on this show, and Touch of Class, a movie with actress Glenda Jackson. Sting wound up winning one of the great caper films of all time, one of the great star pairings of all time, Robert Redford, Paul Newman, who teamed originally in Butch Cassidy and The Sundance Kid. What I found really interesting about looking at this, Mike, is the budget on The Sting. Take a guess on the budget of The Sting. In comparison to today's $150 million, $200 million movies, what do you think the budget of The Sting was?
Maybe in the 20 to 30 million area?
$5.5 million.
And it was taken into account the stars' incomes on that, yeah, I guess.
And it wound up doing $159 million at the box office. Think of the budget versus what it grossed. The chop, right, in that profit was pretty impressive. You know, we bring up, we always talk about the Poseidon Adventure because it's my all-time favorite film. That in 72, the budget on that film was $5 million, Mike.
Crazy.
And that was the second highest grossing film of 1972, 73, actually 73 because it came out at the tail end of 72, played out through the entire 1973 calendar year. Back in the day when you know, you could spend, that was considered a good budgeted movie. But if you think of what they're spending now, what they spent then, and what movies made, there's a really big disconnect in the overall chop of what studios spend and what they make. I mean, $1 billion sounds like a lot of money, but when James Bond, the latest Bond movie, is $250 million plus probably another $100 million of marketing costs, the risk-reward, a little more sweat there.
Yeah. I'd say, although, you get more global money now than you did back then, I would assume, as well with these releases. It was more of a domestic take, but you're right.
Absolutely. Total domestic take.
So that was 72, you said, or 74?
74. 1974. Wow. You know, it's interesting. I just want to tell one story. I remember, I don't know what year it was. It probably was maybe 79, 80. I remember walking through a shopping mall. And there was a thing called Betamax in those days, the first way to watch movies at home. And I remember seeing John Carpenter's Halloween behind a counter being sold, I think, for like $100. And I remember saying to myself, how could I own a movie at home for $100 when this movie made over $100 million? How could they let me at home watch this movie, own this movie for $100 when this movie made $100 million? Theatrically at the box office. And then I remember early days when you went to a video store, when it was, they had you, if you rented a movie at a video store in its infancy, you had to leave your credit card down and they put $100 deposit in case you didn't bring the movie back.
Yep.
When we have come a long way since then, Mike.
We certainly have. And to end where we started, I just wonder where the industry is going to be. Even when theaters open, Chuck, it's just a scary thought. And we've talked about the death of movie theaters even before a pandemic. Now, add this onto it. I don't know. One good thing, though,
I don't think this is a death of theaters. I think it's the alteration of the model. Because there's no doubt studios do want. If the studio had their way, I do believe that they released their product same day theater and give you the option to watch it at home. I do believe that's what they do ultimately want.
Right.
But I do think, even though the studios ultimately do have the power over the theaters, I think there's enough of a hedge there in their thought process and their psychology where theaters will go on, the model will go on, except the window might shrink a little bit more. I think it might go to maybe 30 or 40 days theatrically and then a stream versus more of a 90-day window, which it is now.
Crazy stuff. All right, Chuck, let's wrap things up. And I want to thank AMC for their Stubbs Club. They aren't charging me right now, which is pretty cool that they've halted that. Since you can't go to the theaters, how can you charge somebody $20 a month for not leaving their house? So, all right, we'll do this again. I don't know when, but I want you to stay safe, my friend.
You too. And if I'm a different context, a different psychology, mindset, always a pleasure.
This has been a presentation of Opt-In Productions. Thanks for listening to Movie Maniacs. Be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. Download one of our archived episodes or listen to our next new podcast Friday.
Podcasts by Federated Media. Podcasts by Federated Media.